Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.
Hello, Lagos. Hello, Kayode.
Hello,
hello, Nigeria. You're welcome to yet another edition of Sports Business
with Eurofor Izaga.
Kayode, do you know, Saturdays and Sundays are for sports entertainment.
Mm.
Tuesdays are for sports business.
Yes, yeah?
So Saturday, Sunday, you'll be clapping for whoever you're supporting and everything.
But Tuesday, you got to do it right.
You want to know the numbers. And today I have a really, really crazy piece of business to share with you guys. If you go to my Twitter handle, you see that I made a post of it, right? Now, what's this thing about really? Kaede, there's this club in Ghana, a second division club, right? They sold a player to Sporting Lisbon, right?
Okay.
Now, the player did not meet the expectations of Sporting Lisbon. It's a second division club in Ghana called Steadfast FC.
Okay.
And the player's name is Abdul Fatawu.
Okay.
They sold this guy to Sporting Lisbon. And, you know, Sporting Lisbon got tired of this guy. They didn't see any
good in him.
So Leicester City came in to sign him on loan, right? This Ghanaian club did not insist on a transfer fee. Do you understand? Do you know what they did?
Mm-mm.
They said to Sporting Lisbon that we would take 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Of a sign-on fee for this guy. The way I see it is that Sporting Lisbon probably just thought, this is a rubbish player. Do you understand? 50% is okay. But then this guy goes to Leicester City on loan and plays and contributes to the getting back to the English Premier League. Do you understand? Which triggered the signing of the player.
Okay.
For guess how much?
How much?
£14 million.
Hmm.
Which meant that the Ghanaian club, a second division club, got 50% of that.
£7 million.
So let's bring it to Naira, because that's where perspective.
Let's even leave it at times 1,000. Let's leave it at that. Ignore the 500.
At today's exchange rate, that club earned 12.1 billion naira from one player. All right. So, when they say sports is big business, this is what we're talking about. You can have one land in Akure, and rather than build a block of four flats or something, you turn it into a small field, train small boys there. You don't know which one of them is immensely gifted.
All you lovers of vanity, what is money? You don't need 12 billion naira. Focus.
So welcome to Sports Business. You can check out the post on my Twitter feed. You see the story about the player. And the club, Steadfast. And to put some perspective to this, that club that got $7 million had not received anything more than $25,000 before for a player.
Mm.
So imagine the staggering.
I hope they manage it well.
Well, I hope so too. Mm. So this morning we're going to be speaking with a Nigeria legend, Mr. Mutiu Adepoju. Those of us who know him from way back when know that he's called. Why do we call him the headmaster? Well, Eagles days, and why playing for clubs like he started his career in some smaller clubs, and then he played for Juventus, and before he went over to Spain, where he played in the Real Madrid B team, playing against players like Pep Guardiola, who was in the Barcelona B team at that time. After he left Real Madrid, he now went to Racing Santander. And from there, he went to Real Sociedad, where he had an absolutely impressive league career. All right. He returned to Nigeria after his playing days. And he came back. When he returned, he managed Shooting Stars for a few years. And then he then also managed the Kwara Football Academy. Today, we're going to be sharing with Mr. Adepoju, you know, what he knows about football, seeing that he knows quite a bit based on his experience, what he knows about football and what we can do in Nigeria to make sure that we can turn football and sports to big business. All right. You just heard me share about what happened in Ghana with Steadfast FC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to get those guys to speak with us someday soon on the program.
Mm.
Right now, with the kind of money that they have, they're not talking to anyone. Yeah, so we're still going to be talking. We're still going to be hoping to get them through to come and speak with us.
Mm.
We're trying to get Mr. Adepojo on the line. When we do, we'll put him through to you guys.
Mm.
Now, before we do, I might as well just tell you about, you know, the fact that the Basketball Africa League is going on right now in Senegal. And the Nigerian team is being represented by the Nigerian champions, Rivers Hoopers. We've brought the manager on this show before,
mm-hmm.
and when they return from Senegal, I'm going to put him on the show again as well. But they've won their first two games. But here's the thing that I couldn't really understand about the Rivers Hoopers basketball league campaign. Right, the team was almost a completely mercenary team.
Mm.
You understand? They weren't brought players from America. And they're not the only ones doing this. The guys in other African teams are doing the same. And it makes you sit down and wonder, what's the whole point of this?
Why is it a local team then?
You play a local league match, mm-hmm. A local league, win it, and then you take a completely mercenary squad to go and play in a continental event. I don't get it. You know, it doesn't do anything for
us. That means you don't even regard our own team, our own guys.
I can't see the positives in that at all. Do you understand? I can't see the positives in that. So we need to revisit this whole issue about BAL. I'd like to get the BAL officials to explain this to us, you know, in business sense, you know, in the way that it makes sense, because I can't get it. Do you understand? When they return, I'm going to talk about it. For now, Rivers Hoopers have won their first two games, and they're going to go to they're competing to go for a third win.
Mm.
Now we have Mr. Adepojo on the line, so we're going to suspend that, and we've eaten into his time already, and so we're going to quickly get into the business of today. Good morning, Mr. Adepojo.
Yeah, good morning.
Sorry.
How are you doing?
Very well, very well. It took us a while to try and get in touch with you, but now we're here. What would you rather we call you, Mr. Adepoju, Mutiu, or the headmaster?
Well, my nickname is Headmaster, and my name is Mutiu Adepoju.
Okay.
So whichever one you anyone works feel as you want to call me, it's okay.
Okay, so. When some guys saw that we posted, let me tell you one of the questions that we are usually asked on this program. It is that, look, every day you talk about sports business. What can we do to benefit, to tap into the sports business industry? That's a question that we usually get. And you've been around the world. You've seen this, you've done that, as they say. You know, how would you advise the ordinary Nigerian to think about football in terms of business, for instance?
Well, I think, in the past, football and sports in general used to be just for fun and all that, but everything has turned around, and football, sports in general is business. There are lots of people that lives with and earn their livings, around them in football. And most especially the players, the main actors that give the fun that everybody look into. And we could see what is happening in Europe, in La Liga, in EPL and all that at the moment. But I believe, this time too, in which, we have been talking about this for a very long time, that, Nigeria, talking about football, we need to start deriving the benefits and the business and everything from football. And I believe it must start from the club side, and everything must have an aim and objective, And I mean, the club sides too, they must have what they are looking into, and I mean, what they want to achieve, and I mean, to get into the business.
Okay, so you are the La Liga ambassador in Nigeria. You played football. Yes. You played football in Spain and all of that. What is La Liga trying to do with us in Nigeria, and how can we look to benefit from that?
La Liga came to Nigeria, and I mean, we had partnership with NPFL in 2016, and I mean, from then we have started. And I mean, when La Liga president came to Nigeria, he said he is not coming to Nigeria. He knew that I mean, Nigeria is a very vast market, and I mean, people love football, and the population and everything. That I mean, is not coming here to come and teach or to come out and say this is how football is being run. I mean, he's coming here to come and La Liga is coming here just to come and help, support, and I mean, to grow together. And that was then. And ever since then, we have been trying our best possible to make sure that La Liga, to make sure that we add value into Nigerian football, most especially in the youth development aspects.
Okay, what do you do with the youth when it comes to youth development? I know that you did an under 15 league or so. What else do you do? You know, so that young people listening now can understand how they can.
You see, if you are very, very intentional about things, things will work. We started the under 15 from our office. When we were in Abuja, and we sat down. This is Nigeria, and what is are we lacking and all that? And we spoke to them because I'm a Nigerian. I'm involved in football, and I play football. I know where it's and even manage football. When I was in Shooting Stars, I know what is necessary, what is we are lacking and all that. And I know that when you want to talk about football, business, football development, youth development, it's very, very important. And that was why we started them in this under 15, and we brought it out, the plans and all that, and we sold it we spoke to them in Spain, and they said, give us the go ahead and all that. And ever since then, you will see that all the under 15, we have been doing it every year, except this year that we have not done. And most of the players developed from there. Some of them are played in the under 17 for Nigeria in the World Cup. And some of them are in their various clubs now. In their clubs. So the only thing is that the intention of the clubs, and being intentional about it, about the youth development, about maintaining the structure and everything, which one of the things that we have done. And in other aspects too, we are doing our bit to support.
Okay, so you said some time ago that clubs need to take youth development seriously and that they weren't. But this was like maybe 5 or so years ago. Do you think it's better today? Do you think that clubs are paying heed to the need to develop their youth? And I'll say this against the backdrop of a story that recently has been trending, where they put a guy called Chijoke Umboma. He's the top scorer of Eyimba, you know, and they put a picture of the guy that he's 21 years old, right? And the guy looked almost 40. And fans have been lampooning the not just the player, but Eyimba and the league and the entire football system in Nigeria. If you lose the fans, you don't have any business. All right? So why are we still not interested in our young to field, 21-year-olds that are 21-year-olds? Are we still doing 29-year-olds that are 21-year-olds as 21-year-olds in 2024?
Well, I don't know, because I mean, I was not there when the Dosemi players were born and all that. But, you know, our intention then was, I mean, to be able to develop, I mean, the players from then they are very young. And, I mean, we do screening and all that, in which, I mean, we try our best to make sure that, I mean, the real, I mean, ages of, I mean, the players are correct. And, I mean, they are the ones that are, I mean, being put, I mean, there for them to get to that level. So we tried our best. So I don't know if, I mean, we are still doing all those things. I don't know. But, I mean, I believe that we did that period.
Because just recently also, the under-17 team massively failed their MRI tests, right? You know, and they did two tests, including the NFF test, which even shows that the NFF itself is probably not the main reason behind this age cheating, because they are trying to confirm ages. They're doing MRI tests, and still, I don't know whether it's the agents or the clubs. You know, people are cheating, and
you see, like I told you, like I'm something saying, the clubs have to be intentional with what they are doing. If all these things are done very well in the clubs,
yeah,
and they are not looking into maybe immediate result and all that, and they are able to go into this development of the players of real age and all that. All these things will not be happening, and that's why we brought that idea of under 15.
Okay. Okay,
do you understand? So that, I mean, they can grow into the system of the club players, and all that. Yes. Yeah, I mean.
Okay, so Mr. Adepoju, we'll take a short break so that we can pay our sponsors some credits. So give them some credit and some mileage. And then when we return, we'll continue. If you're listening to the program, please keep the dial on Lagos Talks FM 91.3. Don't go away. Okay. You're welcome back to Sports Business with Ogufor Ezaga. You're listening to Lagos Talks FM 91.3. Now, Mr. Adepoju, do we have any players in Nigeria now that are playing in Spain as a result of the efforts that you have put in so far?
Well, as at the moment, I don't think so. But our intention was to be open and, I mean, this into the players and, I mean, when they get to the age, because the real fact is, I mean, still that, I mean, no club can sign under 15 players and all that. You understand? And until when they get matured. And, I mean, what has been happening, for example, we took some of the players, I mean, under 15 then to Malaga, to come go and have, I mean, idea of training and all that, and I mean, with possibility of, I mean, if they are going to be signed on and taken to Spain when they are 18, you know. But at the end of the day, one of the players did not go because the player did not eventually belong to the club that, I mean, he played for in the under 15. So it belongs to another agent, and they just, I mean, wrote it. And these are the things that, I mean, we are, I mean, talking about, I mean, the clubs being intentional and, I mean, being able to maintain all the players and, I mean, try and develop them till they get to their level of, I mean, when they are able to sign for clubs.
Okay.
Yes, some of them, I mean, went there then, and some did not go, and I mean, no club can sign an under 15 players. If they are in the clubs and they are doing very well, yeah, probably when they get to 18, they might be monitoring them and all that. Then so that has not been the case, and I know that, I mean, this is the reason. And there was a time that, I mean, that first year we took selected players from the NPFL to Spain for tournaments, and they were there, and then I think, I mean, one of the players was picked by Barcelona then, And eventually, I mean, from Enyimba, and eventually the players had to be, sent back because of, indiscipline and all those things and all that. So these are the things that, we are looking into. I mean, La Liga is there, and the players is the league and the clubs is open. If they see any player that is promising and all that, I'm very sure that clubs will be able to get them. There are some clubs that have partnership with some academy here in Nigeria, most especially one of the academies in Jos.
If you own an academy in Nigeria, for instance, how can they come and talk to you guys? How can they just come and talk to you guys about partnering with you guys?
It is not with us. Representative of La Liga here. We can only talk to clubs in Spain if they are interested. Okay. And and that is what is happening. It was through our office here that the academy in Jos were able to introduce them to Leganés, and Leganés people came to Nigeria and they saw that they have been in talks all the while, and they have been exchanging things. And there is another club, academy in Lagos too, which will be introduced, and very soon we're going to introduce an academy in Osun State and all that. So those are the things that we do. We link them together, we introduce them together, and they talk, discuss about where they can collaborate and all that, and that's it, and that's the reason why we are here in Nigeria.
So even your experience, given your experience, right, what should we in Nigeria be focusing on? How do we structure our football in such a way that clubs in Europe can then do their scouting in a broader way, maybe from the MPFL directly, as opposed to just dealing with a million different agents? Shouldn't the focus be on building the league to a point where clubs around
that
the world
can... that should be the focus.
Okay.
Because the reason why this youth development is very, very important.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe in your youth development, and you believe in your players, and you grow them from scratch. I will give example of Real United. It's the only... Well, I think there are some other clubs, MPFL clubs, but Remo United is being run as a professional. I know it. I've been there. I've seen them, and I've seen the players, even the youth system. If you go to Ikene and see the infrastructure that Remo United has, you will know that they have the intention of this football business, and the owner is just businessman, and that is very, very intentional, and loves football, loves kids. I watch the under 13, under 15 in many times, and last Saturday I went there, and the under 13 played. It was a delight to watch, and you see everything being done correctly, professionally, and all that. So I think that's the way that other clubs should. The league management, they are trying their best to make sure that, but they are not going to be the one to build the club for them. They can only build and improve the league. The clubs has to be intentional, they have to be professional, and they have to know. If they don't know, they have to go and learn, and go and see other people how they do it.
Okay.
And it was the reason why we took, in 2017, we took managers of the league here in Nigeria, so that they can see and learn, and they are given even lectures and all that of how to run a football club, to be a business, how to make a business of football. So it is what I think that, I mean, all other clubs, I mean, should try and do too. I have been to Remo. I know Remo. They have the youth system, which is, I mean, beyond limits, and they are doing very well, very, very well. And from Remo United, it can come, from Europe and all that. And, I mean, yeah, I think they even have an associate club in Portugal and all that. So I think, I mean, that's, I mean, the other person should emulate and what they should try as much as possible, even if they can't get to that level of Remo United, and they can do, I mean, something like, I mean, towards, I mean, that.
Okay.
That's, I mean, just, I mean, my own thinking and, I mean, the way I think it should be done.
Okay, so I'm really sorry, Headmaster. We have to call it a day here. It's a really short program. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the program. Until we meet again next week, this is me, Orufoye Zaga, saying have a beautiful time. Stay productive, be good, and be safe. Thank you.
Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.